Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. It's in a nice worship mood. Yep. Well, they have a lot of company. Okay, Revelation 21. Revelation 21.
Did you have Leslie send out, like, if people know that we had class?
Yes.
Because Wes said he didn't know.
But we won't the next 2 weeks, right?
No, next 2 weeks we won't. Okay, Revelation 21. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And we want to be in prayer for Tish and her continual battle with cancer. We want to be in prayer for Wanda, her sister, who's in a recovery from heart surgery, bypass surgery. I want to be in prayer for Edna. She continues to recover. And I want to be in prayer for Cindy Edwards, our member in Wichita Falls, Texas, and her daughter Charlotte and family. Let's see. Steve, you need any prayers?
I need a lot of prayers I can get. I won't be bashful. I think I'm still alive.
Okay. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the book of Revelation. And while we will not be here from almost all of this book, and especially, Heavenly Father, now we go into eternity where we would know absolutely nothing if it were not for your grace, your benevolence, your thoughtfulness to clue us in some of the highlights and important things of eternity. We are the made of the kind, and you created us where we like to know where we're from and where we're going to go and often what's going on today in our own lives. But we do like to think about what's going to be like after death. So, Father, we're just so grateful to you for opening up these things to us. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, verse 3. The presence of God in the eternal state. So let's just kind of get familiar. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. So we took up the presence of God. Verse 4, eternity put in negative terms. Put in negative terms. Since God is there, these things will not be there. Verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning and or crying or pain. First things have passed away. And now we move to verse 5 tonight. Eternity put in positive terms. And so we have the presence of God. What happens when God is present in eternal state? What will not be there? And then verse 5, put into positive terms. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Okay, we've studied how God does not repair our flesh nature. He creates us a new spiritual creation. He crucifies the old self and brings us into a new spiritual creation. Well, that's exactly what God does. It's saying here about the heaven and the earth. It is so fouled up by sin, disobedience, all these things, that he's just going to start all over. He is not going to try to restore it. He is not going to try to make it a better place, just as he doesn't try to make us better. This makes us a new spiritual creation. He's going to destroy the old earth and the old heaven and start all over. And then he says, put this down in writing. Put this down in writing. These words are faithful and true. Now, we've already taken up, I am making all things new, same word as before, for the word new. And so this is what he's doing. And he said, write these words, for they are faithful and true. Okay. True. I make. Well, we didn't cover this. I see that now. We did not cover it as I make. Present active indicative of poeo. And poeo means to make or form, produce, to bring about. We do not have in the Greek the word like a word bara, which means to create out of nothing. But that is the concept we have here with the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And he said, I make all things new. Same word as in verse 1 that we already have taken a look at, a new heaven and a new earth. Same word, kainos, new in quality. And so let's just look at some things that are new. We have a new body. Let's look at Philippians 3:21. I just love when God just starts all over. Philippians 3:1. Philippians 3:21. Who will, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming off of verse 20, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, resurrected body, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we're going to have a new resurrected body. We know that in the eternal state. So look at 1 John chapter 3. Interesting passage in this same respect. 1 John chapter 3. If you can find Revelation, you can find 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now, by faith in Jesus Christ, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. So this is the first thing that, one of the things not listed in the Revelation. But how y'all doing tonight? Good. Well, you've just increased our attendance by. So we know one of the things that we're looking at Revelation 21:5. He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And we have the present active indicative of poeo, to make. And we've seen the other things that he's made new. We know that in the eternal state we will have a new body. Philippians 3:21, 1 John 3:2. We will have a new dwelling place. We know that from the Gospel of John 14, 1 and 2. I go to prepare you a place, and where I am there you may be also. So we're going to have a new place. So we've already seen that is in the New Jerusalem. Your mansion, our place, however you want to interpret the Gospel of John. I grew up translating it mansion. But if you like dwelling place, it's going to be in the new Jerusalem. Then a new heaven and new earth. And that's in Revelation 21:1. But let's look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102. People, it's just amazing. We would not know any of this if God didn't reveal it to us. He's taken us into a realm that isn't even here yet as far as we are concerned. And he knows that we want to know these things. The creation of man is, where am I from? I'm from God. And where am I going? And that's what we're seeing in the eternal state. Psalm 102. Let's read verses 25 through 27. Psalm 102, 25 through 27. of old, you founded the earth. You, Jesus Christ, founded the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them. They will be changed. So he isn't going to make the place a better place, restore it. He's just going to start all over, just like he did with us. Our flesh nature, he didn't make it better. He didn't restore it. He said, I'm making you a new spiritual creation. I'm crucifying the old, starting the new. This is the way God operates. Verse 27. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. All right? Back to Revelation 21. I am making, verse 5, I am making all things new. When God starts with a new creation, all things are new. This is what happens to those believers in Jesus Christ in the church age. This is what he does. He starts all anew. You remember this? Let's look from our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Just show you how God does this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It's amazing how many believers get so distracted, so disoriented, so disillusioned, stress, anxiety, depression, because we think of things on this earth. For you have died. Okay, here's our passage. You have died. That's crucified with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So don't expect the world to see you. The world, as we'll see tomorrow night, the world hates you. Your life is hidden. And only when Christ is revealed are these things revealed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. And, let me see something here. Just pardon me a moment. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5 does not have verses 16 and 17. Nope. So, being a fast thinker than I am, I looked at 2 Corinthians 5. My computer blew it again. It does that every now and then. Yeah. Are we sure it was the computer? Yes. Now, it was done by the controller of the computer, but the computer put down 1 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. And I just wish I could teach young people. It isn't a matter of being beautiful, popular, handsome, successful, all these kind of things. You want people to see Christ in you. That's what you want them to see. That's the flesh isn't going to carry anywhere. We get so caught up in the flesh. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, not a redo. God doesn't make our flesh nature better, crucifies it, starts all over, a new creation. The old things passed away. Same thing we have in Revelation 21:5. Behold, new things have come. So, let's go back now to Revelation 21:5. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, we will do the things that we're going to experience in eternity. You can get a touch of heaven right now by walking in the Spirit. You can get a touch of heaven right now. All right, and then he says, write. 21:5, Revelation 21:5, let me turn there with you. All right, 21:5, and he says, sits on the throne, behold, I am making all things new, and he said, write. God has stopped speaking. This is a new speaker telling John to write. Aorist-active imperative of grapho means to write. This word to write appears 25 times in Revelation. Write in a book. And write what you have seen and what you've heard. And so John is commanded here to write. Write. Then it says, for these words, those are the words just spoken, are, keep on being, true and faithful. Okay. Going to slow down a little bit. This is powerful. The word true. The word true. Alethinos. It's an adjective. It's where we get the girl's name, Aletheia. It comes from this basic word, truth. Aletheia. And so this is true, not a myth, not maybe, but certain. Now, this is going to build, so we're going to have to see how all this is put together. Then we have the word faithful, and that's pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. And pistos means trustworthy. They are true, and they're trustworthy, worthy of belief. You and I can believe that God is going to start all things all over, new creation, you have a new earth. Because he said so. But what is important here is that these true and faithful stem from God's essence, his veracity, his faithfulness. But now I want to go to the real issue. Where do the words faithful and true come? People, this takes us right into the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict, the spiritual warfare with Satan. We have studied, and now maybe you will appreciate both the study and some of the things we've seen and these words, true and faithful. And it comes under the title, Who is Sufficient to be God? This is so crucial. Who is sufficient to be God? In Isaiah, Satan declared, I am. So the battle rages. Who is sufficient to be God? I am means I am self-existent. I do not go beyond myself to find my existence. Satan said, I am. I am self-existent, denying the Creator. So this is who is sufficient to be God. One of the proofs, there are about five proofs, as you recall from that study, and one of the proofs or conditions, who is sufficient to be God, is the ability to declare what is going to happen. What is going to be. Okay, let's look at the great battle, Isaiah 42. Years ago we went through all of these in slow motion, but we'll just read through these and jolt your memory. Isaiah 42. Now what you want to remember is that Isaiah 40 through 60, if it's read correctly, is really a dialogue, a discussion between God and Satan in the underground, the under thing of what's going on here. Between 40 and 60, God is really talking to Satan. So it's delivered from God to Satan. And let's take a look now in verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9. And just you want to read these and get the feel what's going on. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. You get the feeling somebody's punched God's button, for use a colloquial statement, phrase. I will not give my glory to another, Satan, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, verse 9, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Satan can't do that. Satan can't tell you what's going to happen. He's not God. One of the tests is, who's sufficient to be God? Who can do that? He says, I declare new things. Revelation 21, God tells us He's going to make a new heaven, a new create, a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, making all things new. So look at Isaiah 48. We're not really going to exegete here. We've done this just to reflect, to remind you. Isaiah 48. These are powerful verses, people, in dealing with the spiritual warfare. When God said, these words are true and faithful. He's God. He is sufficient to be God in being able to do that. All right, Isaiah 48. And we're going to read verses 5 through 11. Therefore, I declared them to you long ago, before they took place. I proclaim them to you, so that you would not say, my idol has done them, in idolatry. And my graven image, my molten image, have commanded them. You have heard, look at all this, and you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. Now, he's not talking so much to man, he's talking to Satan. They are created now and not long ago, and before today you have not heard them, so that you will not say, behold, I already knew them. Can't say that. You have not heard, you have not known, even from long ago. Your ear has not been opened, because I knew that you would deal very treacherously. You would say that some idol did it, Satan did it. And you have been called a rebel from birth. Satan has been called a rebel from birth. Verse 9, for the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you, in order not to cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake and for my sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another. All right, let's go to chapter 41, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, and we're going to read, in Isaiah 41, we're going to read verses 21 through 24. This is powerful. Okay, Satan, you said I am. Present your case. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments. The King of Jacob says, let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. Satan, see if you can do this. As for the former events, declare what they were. You can't even explain what happened. Ever have things happen in your life? I don't know what God was doing. I don't know what He was doing. I don't know what God's doing. people, it's not just a matter of not being able to tell what's going to happen. We can't even explain the events that have occurred. Satan can't do that. And yet it's so interesting because so many people, oh, heaven's going to be this way. I always like movies. And where this is going to be when we die. And it's going to, and people, it's all mythology. You have to go to this book to find out the unknown things, because we have the only God who is sufficient to be God to declare these things. Continuing verse 22. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome. Announce to us what is coming. You can't explain the past. Tell us what's coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward. See, that's what Revelation 21 and 22 are about, people. God is explaining things that we would never know. But He's sufficient to be God. They're true and faithful. We can trust Him. That's what this book is about, right? This section of Isaiah is about. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you're God's. See, it's one of the sufficiency to be God, being able to tell the future. Being able to explain the past, tell the future, unknown. Indeed, do good, do evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account. I love that. You're just of no account, Satan. You get up here bragging, boasting. You're just of no account. You can't explain the past. You can't tell what's going to happen in the future. And your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. Wow. How many choosing? Let's go to chapter 44. You can go back and read these slowly and think about them, work your way through them. Chapter 44, this time I'd like to look at verses 6 through 8. Verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation. Let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? And yet you worship this Satan, you worship idolatry. Is there any God besides me? Or is there any other rock? I, God, know of none. All right, let's look at 45. Isaiah 45. Verse 20. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot deliver, cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. He throws out the gauntlet over and over to Satan. Here, you'd give it a shot. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none except me. People, we can believe Revelation 21 and 22. He is a God we can believe. He has declared things that are not, things that are going to come. Let's look back at Isaiah 43. This time, let's read together 10 through 13. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand I am. Forget he. I am. Before me, there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who declared and saved and proclaimed. I declared what's going to happen, that I'm going to send my Savior, and then I saved and now proclaimed. We studied this as a flow of history. I declared, that's all the books of the Old Testament. Satan said in the book of Job, no one can make the righteous out of the unrighteous. He declared that he can do it. And all the books to Israel, he's declaring that he is doing it and he will do it alone. Saved, that's the Gospels. That's the sending of Jesus Christ. Proclaimed, that's what the church is about. All the books of the church, we're here to proclaim that God has done it. And there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am He, or I am, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Not Satan. He can't tell what's going to happen. He can't stop. Here's the test of being God. All right, you say what you're going to do, see if I can stop it. I'll say what I'm going to do, see if you can stop it. Let's see who's really God. Let's see who's God. Chapter 43 that we're in, let's look at verses 18 and 19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, which we'll come back to. Okay, now something very important to our study is Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. This verse adds some very important things to our study about the eternity future. First, I create new heavens and new earth. Now we have the Hebrew word bara, for create out of nothing. So this is, I will create a new heaven and new earth out of nothing, just as he did the first earth and the first heaven out of nothing. There was nothing there. Boom. It's the joke, I forgot all how it goes, but man said, oh, I can create life. And so he starts with his little dish, and he starts putting in some dirt and water. And God said, no, 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 that's mine. You've got to do your own. And man can do nothing. So here we have, I will create a new heaven and a new earth out of nothing. Start all over anew. Then look at the phrase. This is powerful, people. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Here's a reason, another reason, why there will be no more sorrow. No more crying, no more pain. It's just the thinking of some things or people in the past bring sorrow to you. If I really think about my mother and her death, bring sorrow. It can bring sorrow. There'd be no thought. No more thinking. No more sorrow. No more pain in your soul. No more tears in your eyes. They will be forgotten. The former things shall not be remembered. Hold your place and just look at Isaiah 65. But we're not through with this passage. This is powerful on the future. Oh, we're on 65. Oh, 16, verse 16. 65, 16. Okay. Because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. Verse 16. Isaiah 65. 65:16. because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. Truth, truth. These words are truth and faithful. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight. Former things will not be remembered in our passage. That is, former things related to the earth. All troublesome things will not be remembered. They will be forgotten. This is one of the things that deals with eternity. Well, what about my son, my daughter? Where are they? They're not believers, and that could bring sorrow and pain, wouldn't it? Forgotten. Forgot. Believe it or not, you forget you even had a son or a daughter if they weren't believers. All the things that bring sorrow and hurt and pain, forgotten. Things related to this earth, forgotten. Every now and then I wonder, I'm going to ask God who did this, and when did that happen in history? Forgotten. It won't matter. It won't matter. Who was really killed in the Tower of London? The History Channel did a deal on that. Long time. I hate that. I can't sleep. I wonder who was that. Could have been them. Could have been somebody else. And I won't even remember. What are all the things that happened with Kennedy that were not sure? I won't even remember. Those things will be forgotten. Only those things in Christ will last. It is so powerful. Therefore, Revelation 21:4, what did it say? First things have passed away. You won't even remember them. So these are important passages to me when you talk about heaven, what it's going to be like, and the hurts and the pains and the sorrows and the tears. There'll be no more. You won't even remember them. Won't even remember them. Here in Revelation 21 and 22, God declares all things that are to happen. Chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, the dismissal of the dragon and those who followed him, the angelic of mankind. Then he declares that the old heaven and the old earth will pass away, new heaven and new earth. We want to remember the things related to this earth. That's amazing. That's just amazing. I wonder if I can use this in my marriage. Honey, this will pass. You won't even remember. You won't even remember that I forgot to do that. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21:5. Revelation 21:5. He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." That's part of being God. Who is sufficient to be God? We can trust Him. He can declare the things that are not, the things that will be. He's declared things that are, and He's always been proven correct. So He can tell us these, because He is God. Now, people, we come to verses 6 through 8. We'll go through them. But to me, the question arises, where did they come from? Let's just read them so you'll see what I'm talking about. Where did they come from? So let's look at Revelation 21, and let's just read verses 6 through 8. Verse 6. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their part will be in the lake of that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Where'd they come from? Nearly every commentator that I did look at, they just take it all in order. I don't understand where it came from. Let me share what I mean. Let's look at this now. They simply do not fit the flow of verses 1 through 5. Verse 3, presence of God in the eternal Jerusalem. Verse 4, eternity put in negative terms since God is not there. Verse 5, eternity put in positive terms. And then all of a sudden we jump to verses 6 through 8 and dealing with the unbelievers and the believers and all of this. Why is it stuck right here? It just doesn't flow to me of the flow of what he's been doing since verse 1. To go back into time and deal with all of these unbelievers and those who are there and all this type of thing. Okay. Went into prayer and thought and looked at it. To keep with the flow of these three verses must be taken and understood from the standpoint of the first three words spoken. Look what it says. It is done. That's where they come from. History is played out. Things have been determined in history are now reality. Either they believed in Jesus Christ or they did not. It is now all over. Eternity begins. Verses 6 and 7. All those who believed, salvation, and they're in the eternal state. Verse 8. Those who will not be in the eternal state. So verse 6, we have a declaration of grace. Verse 6, we have a declaration of grace. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. All right, let's take a look. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. First thing you want to note here is that these words follow the statement, right, for these words are faithful and true. Why are these words faithful and true? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega, people. That's one reason they're faithful and true. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You can bank on what I said. I'm the beginning and the end. I've been there through the whole thing. From the time of the angels all the way through the history of man. I am the final cause of all things, all words. That he says you can count on him. He's faithful, he's true. I've been there all the way through. Okay, he said to me. In verses 5 and 6, we have the expression, and he said, three times. He said, I am making all things new. He said, these words are faithful and true. He said, it is done. Same speaker as verse 5, who sits on the throne. Look at it is done. Perfect tense. All has been accomplished which has been foretold. All has been accomplished which has been prophesied. All has been accomplished that has been decreed. All the words just spoken have all been accomplished. It is done. The plan is over. The battle is over. Time is over. It's done. Done deal. And I am the Alpha and the Omega. Okay, this is one of my favorite. I'm so glad we got to this tonight. One of my favorite statements in the Word is the expression, I am. Emphatic personal pronoun, I am no one else but me. Present active indicative of I me. I keep on being. And what I want to do, have a little fun with you, want to look at the I am phrases, I'm going to start somewhere with all this, in the Gospel of John, same writer, his Gospel account. Then we'll compare it with the I Am's in the book of Revelation. See if we can see some things that you might miss if we didn't put it together this way. So let's take a look and see what we got here. In the Gospel of John, we have, I am the bread of life, 6:35 and 48. I am the bread that comes down out of heaven, 6:41. Write down the scripture reference rather than probably what he said. I am the living, the slash is the, and I should have written it out to be professional, but you'll just have to go with me. I am the living bread, 6:51. I am from Him, 7:29. I am the light of the world, 8:12 and 9:5. I am from above, 8:23. I am, 8:24 and 58. 13:1. 18:5 and 6 and 8. Just I am. I am the door. Chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. I am the good shepherd. Chapter 10, 11 and 14. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his flock. I am the Son of God. Chapter 10, verse 36. I am the resurrection and the life. 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. 14:6. I am in the Father. 14:10 and 11. I am the true vine. 15:1. I am the King, 18:37. Now, people, the reason I love this is that you could do a whole Christology just on the I Ams from the Gospel of John. Just do a whole study. Just if you just want to think about Jesus Christ, pull these out and just go through them and think about them. Now, and plus all of this, there are several phrases by Jesus Christ dealing with the first day, the end of the first advent. Look what he says. I am leaving. 16:5 and 28. I am no more in this world. 17:11, 17:14, and 17:16. What I'm doing is showing you his thought process. Showing you his thinking. I am going. 8:14. 8:18, 8:21, 22. I am leaving. I am no more in this world. I am going. I am not in this world. 8:23. I am not in this world. So we have these four statements dealing with his departure. So this is where his mind is set. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you through the I Am in just the book of Revelation. Just the book of Revelation. The expression I Am occurs 19 times in Revelation, and only 4 are not said of Jesus Christ. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. I want you to see these. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 17, chapter 1. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of this place. Verse 16 of chapter 2. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the war sword of my mouth. Look at verse 23, same chapter. Verse 23. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. I am coming quickly. Remember what John, I'm leaving. I'm going. Here he says, I'm coming quickly. Chapter 16, verse 15. Chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Chapter 21, verse 5, our chapter. 21, verse 5. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Verse 6. Then he said, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 7. Chapter 22, verse 7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. And then verse 20. Verse 20. Who testifies to these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Okay, let's take a look just from Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am alive forever. I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I am coming like a thief. I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am the root of the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. And four times he says, I come quickly. Now, what I want to do, hope you can read it. What I want to do is I want you to let's look and learn some things. The Gospel of John, First Advent, he's here to save the world. Revelation is at the end of time, beginning of eternity, future. All right, in the Gospel of John, I'm the bread of life, salvation. I'm the living bread. I had to kind of get it all on one, so I took them out of order so I could put a couple of them on one line. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. I am from Him. I am the light of the world. I am from above. I am the door, the only way to salvation. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am in the Father. I am the true vine. I am King. Now, let's look at Revelation. Whole different scenario now. These are all gospel related, aren't they? All dealing with why He came, who He is, that He's a Savior and all. Now let's look at the end of time. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Dealing with Revelation deals with the end of time. I am the first and the last. I am alive forever. I am coming like a thief. I am he who searches the minds and hearts. I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, the omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am the root, the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Okay. So what I wanted you to just see here, and you can do this on your own since you got the verses, and just sit here and study all of the I Am declarations by Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. More deal really with salvation. Deal with Him coming to save the world. Primarily at the end, and I mean in the Revelation, it's all dealing with the end time. How I'm in control of all things. I have been here from beginning to end. All things are in my control. And I, when I tell you something is true and faithful, you can believe it. I am God. I'm the only one sufficient to be God. So these are the expressions. Now, I'm going to stop here because we're going to get into verse 6 now, where he says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And this will be a good place to pick it up. And after being gone a couple of weeks, so just bear these things in mind, and then we'll, like I say, we'll pick it up here when I get back. Yes. Okay, because these are the things that polluted the earth that he's getting rid of. It is done. Why it is done, these are the things that man has done with the earth that I have given you. So he picks out these sins. This is the corruptness of man. Why? This explains why he's starting all over. Why he's not going to remake even the believers' total depravity and the unbelievers and what they've done. I'm just starting it all. It's such a mess. Man has made such a mess of everything, I'm starting all over. Does that help? Okay. All right. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, yes. When God created Satan. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, in the time perspective to us, there's a time frame. But to God, it's so quick. It's like his life and his death are just one. Were there 33 years in there? Yes. Yes. But it's all one. Life, death, birth, death. So when it says from the birth, it means from the beginning. When you first came on earth, set it all up, you went through this, and then you polluted it. God didn't say, well, it took you a little while to do it, but he's making the point of how quickly Satan polluted everything. Okay? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. And again, I solicit your prayers for teaching in Tucson, Monday through Friday. We'll meet tomorrow night, but I'm just saying in case you don't make it or something. And Chris, we're already in prayer for you, my wife and I. And just in prayer, Lord, the Spirit will be with you and as you prepare and work on it. Okay. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Heavenly Father, you are God. There is no other. How foolish of man to say there is no God, and how even more foolish to say that there are other gods. And then to make them. And Father, as we go through these things and we learn, you declare the things and explain what has been. You declare what's coming and through history, and now you're explaining what's coming in eternity. We praise you. And we thank you. Thank you for not leaving it up some mystery for us to just fabricate what we want heaven to be. We get a good idea of what heaven's going to be like. You're going to dwell among men. Wow. Things of this earth be forgotten. Won't even remember them. Things that cause sorrow and pain, tears, be over. In simple terms, Heavenly Father, we can hardly wait. But you're in complete and full control, Father. So, Father, we just pray now you take these things, and as we live day in and day out, and things happen in our life that cause pain and sorrow and tears, that we'll reflect on this. and it'll wipe away our tear even now. So, okay, this tomorrow won't even matter. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for giving us this information, telling us and letting us in on these things, Father. Pray that you'll take the things we've seen, let them bear down in our soul, become reality, and then become a reality as we live one day at a time, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.